Hi! Welcome back to Author's Note.
Don't listen!
My name is Cass.
And my name is Tees.
We are back from a wonderful spring break. Thank you so much to everybody who did not stir up a guff. Nobody did. About us being... You know what? Maybe it was a gift to them as much as it was to us. People voluntarily listen to this show, but, that's, you know, true. Maybe they desired freedom for 2 weeks.
Just for 2 weeks. They needed to be... Maybe we're like the children on the leash, and they are our leash handlers, and they needed to take a break from us ourselves as well, you know?
The patrons over on Patreon took our backpack off and said, you know what? Go run around in the field for a little bit. Get some sunshine.
They let us run. My God, did they let us run.
Mommy wants to watch her shows.
How you doing, Cass?
You know, I got my second administration of Mr. Pfizer.
I did too. I got Mr. Moderna.
Yeah, tell me how Moderna was for you on the second go round.
Body hurt.
body hurt.
Body could not fall asleep, and then couldn't stay asleep when body did go to sleep. And then
yeah,
I was crunchy for a little while, and then my body felt like lead when I woke up the next day. I got chills, but you know what? At the end of the day, getting your vaccine is for the safety of others as well as yourself, mm-hmm. and it's also important for, like, those around you who might not be as fortunate as you to get the vaccine, so if you have the opportunity to, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it, of course I'm gonna do it, and now, in 8 sexy days, I will be able to gently kiss my friends on the lips. I'm so excited. What about you? How is Mr. Pfizer?
You know, preferable certainly to getting COVID itself, for mm-hmm. sure, but
yeah, definitely.
I spent 2 days just totally bedridden. So I'm doing about as good. I got it on Thursday and we're recording today on Sunday, mm-hmm. so I'm doing about as good as anybody who didn't eat anything substantial for 2 days really can be, but like mm-hmm. it was not pleasant, I will say, and I'm still feeling like a little bit of the feverish stuff, but, you know, obviously way, 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 way preferable to getting COVID itself or risking transferring that to anybody else. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you're not 100% immune, even with the vaccine. No. So do educate yourself, but the vaccine is very, very important. And if you have the option or availability to go get vaccinated, do it. Do it.
Keep wearing your mask. I don't care mm-hmm. what. Regulations have been.
I don't care what the CDC says.
No, wear I'm your the CDC
I don't want to see your face. I don't want to see you.
No, but be smart, please. Still wear a mask. There's tons of people out there who aren't vaccinated yet. There's still people mm-hmm. who have been thoughtless and uncareful this whole entire time. Mm-hmm. And just be safe. Just
go get
be
your,
smart and be
your
safe.
Delicious, scrumptious, Krispy Kreme free donut.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. Get that donut, get that hat, get that paper little hat. Oh my God, we keep talking, but I didn't know that you could get a hat from Krispy Kreme literally until last month.
Now it's all you do.
No, I still haven't picked one up yet. I still haven't been brave enough to pick one up yet.
Oh my God, you told me you were going to get me one.
I did. I mean, I got you one, but not for one for me.
Well, put on the one you got for me.
I don't have it.
You lied to me? Did you lie to me just now? You look at... This is the first time that we're recording with, like, a video call up to Satis is looking me directly in my digital little eyes.
This is so scary.
You lied to me.
I did. I'm sorry.
You lied to me. I can't believe... The podcast is over. Spring break. Spring break, much like summer break, is endless.
Before we start talking about today's topic, do you want to tell me what you've been watching, what media you consumed over break?
Yeah, I read a lot, but okay. I also started watching BoJack Horseman, uh-huh. which that's been... I didn't expect BoJack to be Will Arnett. I expected BoJack to be voiced by H. John Benjamin. So I'm still at this weird point where every time I hear BoJack speak, I'm like, that's not right. That should be H. John Benjamin. And
who's
I don't
H.
know...
H. John Benjamin?
Archer, Bob of Bob's Burger, that
okay.
man.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
That was, like, always the voice I visualized for BoJack, because I had never heard him. But I'm enjoying it. I I messaged you when I started watching, and I was like, Jesse Pinkman? Aaron Paul's in it, which I didn't expect, but he's a delightful voice actor.
I never watched it either, but I have friends who love it, so I've seen bits and pieces.
It took me a little bit to get into it, because they take, like, the first few episodes to establish how much of a terrible bastard BoJack is.
Oh, yeah.
So, I kept, like, waiting for the hat to drop, and for this moment to come of, like, clarity of, like, oh, the show's gonna be about him, like, coming to terms with it. So it takes a little bit to get there, so those, that, like, first few episodes was a little, like, a little grating. I deal enough with men like that in my life. I don't need to watch a cartoon about them. But I'm really excited to check out Tuca and Birdie after I catch up on BoJack.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about you?
The Oscars was during our spring break. So I watched a few Oscar movies. I saw Promising Young Woman and I watched Minari. I've seen other movies that were nominated, but those were the two I watched during spring break. I watched all of the series that we are doing.
Oh, God. Yeah, you really did.
I watched the whole thing. I watched all 28 episodes. I watched the 2-hour and 45-minute movie.
We need to have a talk about you choosing topics that are key tedium. You always do this.
I do. And then I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'll just read it all. And then, like, I'll show up the week later, full thing read, two other things fully read. It's a matter of how I utilize my time, not necessarily if I actually have it or not, you know, so I'm working on it.
I mean, we've both already gotten, like, our heads into the space of the episode we're doing, not next week, but the week after.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, like, already reading it. So
yeah,
it's
I'm
just
50 pages in already. And I'm just like, okay, it's fine. So so today's, so here, author's note, don't listen. If you don't remember who we are a podcast that talks about the inner workings of fandom, both from a history sense and from a talking points analysis sense. That's the word I was looking for. And today's topic is, well, Cass, do you know anything about the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya at all?
All I know about the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which we're going to say the whole title every single time in this episode, so
okey-doke.
Get your glasses of water ready, is that there was a dance that was super duper popular. That was pretty much all I knew about it, I want to say. I remember when it was, like, really, really big and booming. I had no real interest in watching it because I thought it was, like, a dance anime because of how popular Harehare Yukai was.
Interesting.
Like, that was all I ever saw of it, was, like, either people cosplaying and doing that dance or, like, shots from that dance. So I thought it was, like, a very slice of life, quiet, like, about this school dance club. I have since come to learn that that's probably not the case. I saw, like, some screen caps that were, like, super dramatic at one point of, like, explosions around, I want to say, the character's Yuki. And I was like, what is happening in this show? And then you told me about Endless Eight.
I love that. So I'm also, I just linked you to a banger of a song from the anime itself as well. So, Haruhi Suzumiya, surprisingly enough, is a light novel series written by Nagaru Tanigawa, and it's still running to this day, actually. Mm-hmm. The most recent volume, after, like, a 9-year break, came out in November, December 2020. So
George R.R. Martin, eat your heart out.
Yeah, for real. So, and equally as hard on himself for not finishing something either. Yeah. So over 12 volumes as we're recording this, but obviously things grow and change. So we never know. We might get more Haruhi.
Can you explain what a light novel is?
Yeah. So a light novel is usually a chapter book, essentially, that has a story in it. So it's kind of like an easy read young adult book in a way. So it usually targets middle schoolers and high schoolers, and according to Wikipedia, it's usually about like 50,000 words or less, so it's a little bit, it's on the shorter side. It's shorter, they're kind of really easy to read. They're also usually come smaller size books too, so they're usually in the A6 size. So I have
like a beach read kind of.
Yeah, it's essentially like a teenager beach read. It's it's very pulpy, it's very fast to breeze through. I own a few light novels and I'd say I could bang them out in like an afternoon if I really wanted to. Like I've read like I have the Walk On Girl, The Night Is Short, and I have the Perfect Blue light novel and stuff like that, and those are really quick. So this is technically basically like a book series, a chapter book series.
The Melancholy of the Magic Treehouse.
Yes, that's it. So, but it's also best known how what we're talking about here is a anime series that aired from 2006 to 2009, followed by a final movie in 2010. And obviously since then, there have been several other spin-off series and stuff like that, on and off, parallel universes, kind of corny short stuff. So Haruhi has a lot of material if you really want to get into it, but for the most part we're going to really talk about the second season, which aired in 2009, and a little bit about the 2010 movie. But besides that, besides all stats, it's a slice of life anime about a guy named Kyon and his classmate Haruhi Suzumiya, which the series is obviously named after. And Haruhi is a firm believer in the supernatural and general unusual shenanigans of it all. Her, like, goal in life is kind of finding an alien or a time traveler or an esper or somebody who's just a general funky kind of guy, you know? So, in talking about these things, Haruhi makes a after-school club called the SOS Brigade, and she ropes in, obviously, Kyon into joining and creating the club with her. Of course, as you can imagine, a very popular trope within high school anime that includes clubs is that there needs to be at least 5 members for the clubs to become official, and that is the first part of Haruhi. I also want to mention that people who are fans of the series who probably know this, I watched this in chronological order, not by airing order. So when the series came out originally, it came out in a separate airing order than how it's currently boxed and sold today as DVDs. So there's the original airing order, and then there is the chronological. Sorry, team, I watched the chronological. I didn't know about the whole airing order thing until it was too late. So there's that. So in the timeline of how things go throughout time, Haruhi, of course, scrounges up 3 other members, and they are, surprise, surprise, Yuki Nagato. She is an alien. There is Mikuru Asahina, who is a time traveler, and then there is Isuki Koizumi, who is an esper. And these 3 people are technically tasked with closely watching Haruhi, because she has this special ability to manipulate the world, even to her liking, without realizing it. And depending on who you talk to, for instance, Koizumi thinks that Haruhi's technically a god. And so all these characters have their own theories about her, depending on what point in time, what company they come from, all this fun stuff. So Kyon knows this. Haruhi does not know this. So
this is not what I expected it
right?
to be.
Right? So I didn't realize this either. So I started watching anime in 2009, but I didn't have anybody to talk to about it besides one friend. And if she wasn't watching it, then I didn't know about it, really. Mm-hmm. And so I had vague ideas about Haruhi. I knew how to do the Haruhi Yukai, but, like, I never knew the actual plot of the series. And so this is the basic rundown. And for the most part, most of the episodes are kind of, like, one-offs, short arcs type deal. Kind of just, like, the wacky antics of, like, what Haruhi does and wants and how it gets the whole world in trouble and stuff like that. But there's
terrifying.
Like, yeah, there's like all this meta about the show that I like didn't even know. And if you are hearing this description and listening to this episode, I do want to say, if you are not familiar with Haruhi, it's fun. However, it did not age well. There's a lot of inappropriate touching and harassment that's unfortunately played off as a gag and can be really off-putting to somebody who's watching this for the first time in their 20s in 2020. And I don't find these horny teenager antics cute, but like I obviously watched it for the show and stuff like that, and it's just like a lot of like, wear this maid costume because it'll attract more people to come to our website. And it's like, oh my god, this is so early 2000s, you know? But yeah. I really enjoyed it. Like, I actually really enjoyed the series. But I also do want to say that this episode is not spoiler-free. So if you are going to be upset about spoilers from an anime that came out 12 years ago, maybe skip this one, watch Haruhi, and come back. I don't know what to really tell you. You're like, all right, so, like, what the fuck is Endless Eight? Because this is clearly nothing that I've talked about yet. Mm-hmm. And put it long story short, it's an anime arc. It is fucking hated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the best way to describe Endless Eight is that it was a Groundhog's Day loop. And the general plot is the members of the SOS Brigade are trapped repeating in the last 2 weeks of their summer vacation / August. And it's not once, it's not twice, it's not 10 times, it is over 15,000 times. And
Tease, how do you think you would cope with a situation like that?
Well, so, depending on which character I was, I wouldn't necessarily remember it.
No, okay.
Or just being stuck the last two summers. You mean me being Groundhog's Day? Is that what you want?
How do you think you would cope with that situation?
I don't know.
Aware of it.
Yeah. It depends what 2 weeks it is, because frankly, if it was, like, the last 2 weeks that I've had at work, I'd be kind of miserable. Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe if it was, like, a chill vacation, I think I'd be okay.
I've never seen Groundhog's Day, but maybe Bill Murray just didn't utilize his time correctly.
Well, it's also February, and I haven't seen Groundhog's Day in a long enough time that I don't really remember what goes on in it, so.
You just gotta utilize that time like Goku in his little capsule pod, whatever.
Sure.
His little chain where he goes in and, you know, decades pass in there, but no time passes outside and he gets real strong.
Wow. Congratulations, Goku.
Love you, Goku.
So, in the light novels...
That's my dad. That's my dad, Goku.
Congratulations on your dad, Goku. He's never kissed your mom.
He hasn't gotten his vaccine yet. It's not safe.
Well...
And even when he does, then you have to beware of mono. Did you think about that, Tease?
No.
What if you get mono when you gently kiss your friend upon the lips?
I've already had mono before, thank you very much. So in the light novels, the arc actually only lasts one 30-page chapter. And though the amount of loops are still the same amount, Kyon, the narrator of the series, doesn't remember the experience. And the only character who does in the arcs is Yuki, which means that she has essentially sat through these 2 weeks for almost 600 years at this point. And
Hell,
yeah, and she's tired, and like, even in the show, they're like, why didn't you tell us? And she's like, my job is to observe. So she's been, quote-unquote, observing the same 2 weeks for the past 600 years. And it's like, how awful is that, you know? And however, in the anime... Though the members of the SOS Brigade do not remember these 2 weeks, there's still, like, a lot of strange play on deja vu, and the viewer basically experiences the same episode, which is the point of Endless Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed for you to realize that it is literally the same thing over and over and over again. And what's also a big issue is that this was 8 episodes out of the 14 episodes that were planned for season 2.
Yeah, so it was every episode was the same plot line, essentially, and we'll get into the particulars of it, but it was the same exact plot line happening, so they got, what was it, they got one episode of new content after this, like, massive pause and build-up, and it was an episode that was really beloved, and then Endless Eight starts, and it's like, you know, you only have 14 episodes in the season, and every week, you're getting a new episode of the exact same thing, and you're like, oh, the new content, it is dwindling, and it is becoming less and less likely to happen.
So, each episode is uniquely drawn. The characters are shown in different outfits. The lines are delivered slightly differently. The shots, the angles of scenes are changed up in every episode a little bit. And it's literally 8 episodes that they took time to draw and do. However, mm-hmm. it is 8 episodes of the same exact content.
The thing that surprised me about going back and looking at footage of Haruhi was the production quality of the episodes. Like, they look amazing even by today's standards of animation. Like,
oh my gosh. So, I highly recommend the movie. The movie mm-hmm. is stunning. Unfortunately, the movie is one of those ones that you do need to watch the first 2 seasons to understand the movie, which is unfortunate. But the movie is gorgeous. Like, if you mm-hmm. haven't sat and watched Haruhi in a while, or you're getting nostalgic from this, like, just watch Disappearance. Disappearance is fantastic. It's mm-hmm. Koyaanis really is that bitch. Like, we forget how beautiful Koyaanis stuff is until I watch it again. Like, truly. Anyway, I also would like to say shout out to Red Bard on YouTube, who did a video on the Endless Eight, because their work kind of filled me in some cultural stuff I didn't necessarily know about at the time, and they're just a really great researcher and a really good person who does great analysis, similar work to us, and I really like their stuff, so I want to recommend people who have kind of the same style as us, as well as people that I personally dislike in my own life. So if you do want to hear more about, like, reactions and emotions towards Endless Eight, I would highly recommend that video.
I'll include a link to it in the description of the episode.
Oh, thank you.
So, yes, of course.
When the series was first announced, fans were ecstatic. You know, the advertisements for the series was unfortunately a little bit vague. It was mostly like a few art pieces that just only really showed Haruhi or Yuki's voice. There was a grindy live action video, which was clearly in reference to the season opener, Bamboo Leaf Rhapsody. And there was actually even some password locked content behind the Haruhi.tv website. And the website, when you figured out the password, it said that season 2 was canceled and that there was something else happening that was being worked on for Haruhi, so people were super confused. There was this huge mess. It was, they were like, they felt like they were being trolled, you know? It was quiet after 2 years, you know, and it's such a, it was a lot of mixed signals, unfortunately, because places, news sources like New Type and Anime News Network were kind of floundering and flip-flopping on what was going on, and
right, because they only have the information that's given to them from, you know, Kyoani.
Yeah, exactly. And between that and then the season 2 series was coming out, there was, like, really nothing that people was sure about. So viewers were already on their toes to begin with, and then when it was announced that there was going to be a 28-episode re-air of the series, people are like, what is going on? Because there's only one season that was the first 14 episodes, so why would this be 28 episodes unless they were going to just air the first season twice? So people were still kind of in denial and disbelief. So when Bamboo Leaf Rhapsody started off the season, they were, fans were just absolutely through, like, to the moon. They were so excited. The like like the Nintendo 64 Christmas video. Like, it's hard to overstate how well loved Haruhi Suzumiya was. It was a instant classic, and it was almost even treated as a philosophy and a pseudo-religion in a way, which people usually refer to as Haruhiism. And cons were crawling with people in cosplays and characters. Everybody knew the ending theme song, which was Where the Dance Comes From. And, I mean, even I included, like, I never watched Haruhi, yet I knew the dance, you know? And this series was something that people looked forward to. It was something that people loved. It was a classic, you know? Just the same way that we think of, like, Naruto being a classic, or Bleach being a classic, or One Piece being a classic back in that time period. Haruhi was there, too. We just
and
don't.
And Haruhi had production value far beyond those series. And,
as,
like,
yeah. And, well, I mean, it was short, too. So people don't seem to think of it as much because it was short and it didn't go on for so long. And it's not in our consciousness as much. But it was just as up there and popular, you know? It's like, just as often as you would see a Misty cosplay in 2008-9, you would see a Haruhi cosplay in 2008-9. You know, like, it's the same idea. It just was an incredibly popular show. And it was big business, you know? So we have Bamboo Rhapsody and Bamboo Leaf Rhapsody, and then it rolls into the next episode, which is the first episode of Endless Eight. And fans who read the light novel and was familiar with the light novel was super excited. They're like, oh my god, it's Endless Eight. Like, it's pretty fun, you know? It's a quick one, but people remember it. It's enjoyable. So, episode...
Foolish.
Foolish. So, episode two comes out, and light novel fans kind of have a good laugh about it, because they're like, ha ha ha, now people are going to realize that they're stuck in a time loop they don't know. And anime fans are kind of like, what's going on? But everybody's a little bit shocked that it happened. But for the most part, everything kind of just keeps going. The only main difference in the second episode from the first episode of Endless Eight is that the characters realize that they are stuck in a time loop. And by this point, after discovering this information, obviously, like, the third arc's going to happen. The third episode's going to happen. The arc's going to roll around to a stop. Like, they're going to realize what's going on. And it's just going to end.
That would be the natural conclusion.
Right, yeah. So, the third episode's happened. People are like, ha ha ha, what the fuck? It's the same as the second episode. It gets worse and worse. So, fans of the series start become more and more upset, as you can imagine, as the fourth week comes back. The fourth week comes, and it is another Endless Eight episode. Mm-hmm. The fifth week, the sixth week, you know, it is eight episodes in a row. People are beginning to drop the series, like, without thought, you know? Mm-hmm. People are becoming increasingly more and more upset. Viewers are beginning to wonder if this is really going to be eight episodes long, like the name implies, but it's more of, like, kind of a joke. People are like, ha ha ha, it's gonna be eight episodes.
There's no way it's gonna go
eight
episodes.
So, like, everybody's kind of joking about it because, like, that seems like the natural answer, but nobody would actually really do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, technically we're supposed to watch anime legally, blah blah blah, but
there were far less avenues at this point in time for Western audiences to access anime without watching it illegally. Like,
or
let's
spending
just be
a million billion dollars. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually asked friends who were into anime at that time during when this was happening. And one friend said that fan translators would just kind of give up after, like, the third episode and just kind of slap show notes at the beginning being like, hey, there's no point in me even translating this episode because it's just the same thing over and over again. And meanwhile, outside of Haruhi watchers, this became kind of like a sport for other anime fans. Like, it became a spectacle in a way. People who never watched Haruhi or really cared about it in the beginning were, like, in on the gag now at this point and would watch every week. People would be like, it's time for Haruhi this week. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And, like, we would be watching with bated breath. And by, like, the time the fourth or fifth episode came out, people on 2chan, which is, like, Japan's version of 4chan, kind of, and which is the anime board of 4chan, were destroying their Haruhi merch. And this is, like, becoming relatable content to destroy your Haruhi merch, you know? And, like, how fucked up?
Totally unrelated, but I saw somebody tweeting today, a tweet from another person who had found it was one of the early publications of Hideki Anno's working on the Evangelion movie, and, like, how expensive that book was. And they're like, look, I found it at a thrift store. Somebody wrote their name on it, but you can just take it off with alcohol. And they're, like, wiping it off, and somebody just, like, replied and was like, why are you removing Hideki Anno's autograph from that book that is worth so much money and is now worth way less?
I know. I saw that, too. That was, like, honestly, oh my god, I would be miserable.
That's what you get.
That's what you get. And so eventually it kind of leaked in another issue of New Type that Endless Eight would be ending. And finally, after eight episodes, Endless Eight was in fact over. And do you want to know what triggered it to be over?
That's 2 months, though. Like, I don't think we're driving home that point enough. It's like,
the season started in May. It was July by the time. Like, literally the whole month of June was dedicated to the same episode. Like,
and people had waited literal years just for an announcement of this second season. Mm-hmm. And now they find out that 8 of the 14 episodes they were so excited for are being essentially wasted. And, like, there's there's a point to that where it's like the dedication is somewhat admirable, and you'll cover obviously why it happened that way, but like it's weird because it is this, it's lazy and it's not at the same time, because like they went through and they reanimated like so much of it. The costumes are different, like even the voice actors had to re-record lines every time. They weren't allowed to just, like, use the same takes from the previous episode, which is wild to me. Mm-hmm. Like, the production cost alone, I'm like, I don't know if that even justifies, like, what you were trying to do and cover for.
I hear, So, do you want to know what actually triggered, like, the ending of Endless Eight?
Yes.
It was Kyo not realizing that he didn't do his homework. Literally,
so
like...
So, did Haruhi, like, manipulate the world around him because she was worried about him?
No. So, that's a good question. I don't know. And it's played off that nobody realizes that Kyo didn't do his homework until he kind of, at the end, was like, I want to do one more thing. I need to do my summer homework. And that's what triggers them. And then the last day of summer is spent them doing their homework, you know? And obviously, like, Koyani did not think this was the best idea, right? Like,
this is why we don't assign homework. Not just summer homework, but homework in general. You might trap your students in an unending time loop for 600 years.
Obviously, Koyani knows that this is, like, not the best idea, right? So, Endless 8 was originally supposed to be a pretty short affair. You know, it was supposed to be, like, a one-up. And then the next arc was supposed to be taken up by the disappearance arc, which is also hugely loved. However, the scripts...
That's what became the movie, yeah?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So, however, the scripts for disappearance just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And the team kept wanting to include, like, more and more things. So, soon it just wasn't feasible to fill it in as a 7-episode arc. So, they now had 7 extra episode slots that they had no idea what to do with. And Haruhi has a pretty good amount of volumes. However, it's not that much material to work with, you know, because once again, it's arcs, so they're chapters. So how long does an arc necessarily last for? It could last for a chapter. It could last for a volume, you know? So there was not that much work they had. So they're like, well, what are we going to do 7 episodes? And so the Endless Eight was born. So it was basically made out of desperation more than anything, you know? And the disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya movie came out, and it was long. Like, season 2 finished up, and they immediately announced disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya. And disappearance is 2 hours and 42 minutes. And
Jesus.
But it is so worth the watch.
But that is so long for an animated movie.
Yes.
I feel like you are lucky to get 2 hours out of an animated movie to get almost 3 hours.
Yeah. And what's even more surprising about it, not that they even pulled it off, is that it made Endless Eight relevant and plot relevant at that, which is so amazing and smart, and it's kind of like a way Koyani being like, all right, yeah, we know we fucked up, but we're gonna make this have a reason. Yeah, and I mean, like, I feel bad because it's like, what do you do? Like, what do you do in this situation? You know, like,
yeah,
you can't just like pull something out of your ass when
you've
already
bought those TV time slots, right? You know,
yeah, so this was like actually really made out of desperation. And once once Endless Eight was over, people, like, went back to watching Haruhi. They basically watched the last episode and were like, let's move on with our lives, you know? And I kind of feel bad because then it was Sigh of Haruhi Suzumiya, which, in my opinion, isn't that great of an arc. But they just... It stinks because it was, like, a lackluster... It was, like, a really exciting opening, and then it was a lackluster middle, and then it just ends, you know?
It's the final seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, essentially. And the rest is left for history, and... Even staff members have been interviewed and recorded to admitting that they were really disappointed in doing this and that there was a lot of frustration towards Endless Eight. And that includes directors, voice actors, and other production staff that necessarily didn't have the biggest choice in this. And I feel bad because it's like, this lives in such infamy, and it's still even referenced today. I mean, when the Pop Team Epic anime came out, it aired their 8th episode 8 times. So, and it was a gag, you know? It was like a literal reference and gag to this event happening. So obviously this is like something that lives in infamy that we can't really replicate, unfortunately. And I don't think anybody would want to replicate it either. And Red Bard even mentions that the popularity of the series plummeted. At the beginning of season 2, it was ranked number 19 overall on my anime list. And I kind of feel like my anime list ratings like that are kind of bullshit, but it's, once again, a mix of popularity, score, so on and so forth. It's not necessarily if it's the best thing ever, but more how high episodes are currently being ranked, as well as how many people are watching it and how many people are planning to watching it, so on and so forth.
Well, I think it's a good digest, right, of,
of
people who are both critically watching and people who are just casual viewers, you know? So it's like, it's a good metric in that way.
Yep, exactly. And by the end of Endless 8, it plummeted all the way down to number 1,475. So that's, like, down below all the current anime by a long shot that were airing that season. So it was, like, really rough, you know? I feel, I feel
brutal.
Like, now that I know, like, the actual reasons why this happened, I feel genuinely sad that Endless 8 is looked at as such this awful thing. And for me, I actually really enjoyed the arc, surprisingly. And maybe it's because I knew that the end would eventually come. Because other friends that watched and didn't know what was happening, it was like a real big shock for them. It was like a big kick, you know, because it was like, what do you mean it's another episode again? Like the uncertainty of not knowing when it was going to end, I think was the hardest part for a lot of people. But I loved it, you know, it was kind of something comforting in knowing that it was going to be the same thing over and over again until we found the button that would fix it, so to say. And I remember even watching and asking myself, like, is it the homework? Is it Kyon realizing that he might have feelings for Haruhi? Is it that nobody spoke up during their initial meeting saying that they wanted to do one more thing before the finished summer vacation? And I don't know if I was blind to all of this, if I would enjoy it. But retroactively here, watching it, like, now, knowing that it was going to be 8, I really loved it. And when watching the series, I kind of was looking at people's episode reaction comments. Somebody was like, why not make this arc only 3 episodes? Why don't you just do it like the original episode where they don't know, an episode where they kind of find out and they have trial and error and stuff like that, and then the 3rd episode, they figure it out to break the loop. And I mean, besides knowing that there were production issues aside, I think the point of Endless 8 and there being 8 is that, like, episodes kind of blend together, you know? And you kind of get lost when you're watching around episode 4 or 5. You can't really remember which one you're on. You just kind of stumble through the episodes. And I think that's kind of the point, because it gets you lost, quote-unquote, in the endless summer. And throughout the whole entire arc, Haruhi keeps saying the line, it's our only summer as first years. And that's the point, you know, like, you only have this event once, you only have all these, like, things that you kind of remember dimly in the back of your mind from your childhood to look back on when you think of that summer. And it's the moments like those that really got to me when I was watching it. And in the beginning of the arc, like, I was keeping track of how the clothes changed and how lines were delivered and how they were a little bit different and stuff like that. And by the time that I was, like, halfway through it, it didn't even, like, matter what was going on at that point. Like, I just was taking the joy in the actual episodes themselves and how they let in small moments that were different each time. Like, for instance, in the first episode, the way that they're shown playing with the fireworks really, like, excited me. And then in the second episode, they show them so delicately letting go of cicadas because they were bug catching for the whole entire day. And, like, by the 4th or 5th episode, like, they're just hanging out at a park and playing, and Haruhi spins them around on one of those big ass globes. And it's just like, it's the moments like those that really are the memorable parts of our childhood summers. And I just really appreciated it. And I know this isn't in my notes, but somebody was also saying that maybe this was a commentary on what Koyaani was animating at the time. However, I'm not really familiar with the 2 series that Koyaani made before they made Haruhi Suzumiya season 1. And actually, there was 3, but and it was Doki Doki Panic, Air, and Clannad, and I haven't seen any of those, but a lot of them kind of live in fans' minds if they look back on it with kind of like the very similar cutesy look that the studio is known for, the characters kind of being very moe and stuff like that. So I think this could even be considered necessarily a commentary on just what Koyaanis is capable of and the time and dedication they do, and they don't want to necessarily always tell the same stories. And I kind of loved this series, and I love this arc, and I wish more people were a little bit more empathetic towards it than instead of being hostile about it like we still are today. Because, like, frankly, people who are still mad about Endless Eight, like, when was the last time you actually watched Haruhi at this point? Like,
when was the last time you animated something?
Yeah.
Like, not to pull the, like, oh, you know, if you're going to complain about it, why don't you try and do it yourself? But there's also this aspect to it, right, where it's like, okay, you had a team that was pushed and in uncomfortable circumstances, and, you know, they weren't able, for one reason or another, to shorten the season or what have you. Because, like, let's be honest, I feel like there wasn't a way to make fans totally happy in this situation. Mm-hmm, and so, like, they did the best with what they had. And, like, I speak from a position of not having watched this. You know, I've only seen clips of it and, you know, what Tease has told me and what I viewed in some YouTube videos. But, like, I think it is good every now and again for, like, fans to not get what they want and to kind of just be, you know, like let's, fans aren't paying, you know, for the production of Endless Eight in a direct fashion. You know, they're not necessarily patrons and they're not really owed anything. And it's like, you know, it's really easy for you to step away and just not watch for a few weeks and then come back and see, like, where it picks up again instead of climbing onto Twitter every week to complain about it or, like, why it didn't live up to your expectations. And it's like, I think in the same way that, like, it is important to really foster love and empathy around these small moments in your childhood and in your memories, the same can be said of media. And, like, those episodes aren't all exactly the same. It's not the same episode, you know, being pushed into the same time slot. Like, care and dedication went into it, and you should appreciate that. Somebody worked on that. And, like, if you love something, you can acknowledge its failings and still appreciate it. And, like you were saying, have empathy for it.
Yeah. That's a really good way to sum it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, everybody, like, watch Haruhi, I guess. That's my final note. And don't be as mean about Endless Eight, because there's a lot more than just wanting to quote-unquote troll somebody, you know?
I don't think many large corporations are going to take that risk of, like, actively troll. And, like, that wasn't the intention either.
That was the thing, though, because of all of the uncertainty with Season 2 coming out in the first place, people thought, like, oh, here's Koyaanis pulling a joke on us again. And, like, no! Like, shit just actually happened!
Yeah.
It was rough.
Not everything is a marketing scheme.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think you'd want this to be your marketing scheme.
That said, no, was it? No press is bad press.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it got people talking about Haruhi, and I mean, Haruhi hasn't endured, but, like, most things from that period haven't in the same way, but, like, I do believe Haruhi is still, like, pretty beloved, and, like, if you ask most people, they will still recognize the iconography of those outfits, those costumes, those wigs, you know? They live forever in our celluloid memories.
Everybody cosplay Haruhi with me. Let's go. Let's just all
first author's note, convention panel. Everyone come and dress as Haruhi.
You joke, but I literally will come I will do the first one.
We've talked a lot about what we would wear to our first panel.
Yeah. And now I'm going to wear Haruhi Suzumiya cosplay, apparently.
You're going to have 83 cosplay changes throughout the entirety of the panel.
It's
just going
to be me talking into the microphone as I'm, like, unbuttoning my shirt and putting on another one. Like,
all right. Thank you so much again to everyone who hung around during our spring break. It is wonderful to be back, and we're excited to be making episodes. We'll probably take another break in the summer, but, you know, it's always good to take breaks for yourself in whatever you're doing and just rest and try something new and explore something new. maybe try something new for yourself today. If you want to support the podcast, the best way you can do that is, one, by listening, which is amazing. Thank you so much for sticking around. Maybe leave us a comment on, or a review, I guess, on any of your podcast platforms that you prefer, or leave us a comment on YouTube, where we do host some of the video. Well, we host all of the episodes over there. But if you're interested in maybe dropping a tip for us, you can find us on Ko-fi, that's Ko-fi, or you can subscribe to become a Patreon member. And over on Patreon, we offer polls to our patrons to help decide episode topics, as well as a bonus episode for people at the $5 tier that they get once a month. But we do have goals that, you know, if we reach those, it'll become bi-weekly and then it'll become monthly. So that's really cool. We're on Ko-fi and Patreon at Authors Note Pod, so you can find us that way. We are also on Twitter and Instagram and pretty much everywhere at Authors Note Pod. You can find any way to reach us over on our website. That's authorsnotepod.com. My name is Cass, and you can find more of me everywhere else on the internet at Valhethella. That's ValHethellaTease. If people want to find more of you, where can they get you at?
You can follow me at Vicunad. That's VicunAd. And if you liked our theme music, that was by James Wyulo. You can check him out at Bandcamp under James Y. And Cass, who did our cover art?
Our cover art is by the wonderful Nyaliest. You can find her on Twitter at Nyaliest. It's NYALLIEST. Until next time, keep wearing your masks, get a vaccine if you can, and stay safe. Bye!
Bye!